Hi, welcome to Let's Get Into It with Pilot Verwit.
Hi.
Who is a freelance writer and television critic and is joining us as the fourth person in this room with glasses. Tim and Nick are also here, also wearing glasses.
Hi.
I'm going to break off a segment right off the bat here. It is a competition for the worst prescription.
Can we call it Making Friends Trading Glasses?
Because
I love doing that.
Fantastic. And we're actually going to trade glasses for this segment, too. So this is Making Friends Trading Glasses. I'll start. I am a -5.5 if anyone wants them. So my glasses are off. They're ready for the next taker. I have declared my -5.5. Let's just go around as a clock would. Tim, to my left, what's your prescription?
I don't know my prescription.
What do you mean you don't know?
I'm a terrible human. I learn things when I need to learn them, and then as soon as I've accomplished my goal, I forget everything that I've learned.
Are you nearsighted or farsighted? Let's start there.
Which is the one where I can see close, I can't see far?
Just try to figure it out by the words.
Nearsighted.
Great. Why don't you give me those glasses? Let's make friends and trade glasses. Right, and I'll see if I can suss out from the relative blur what your prescription is. Yep. Tim and I have traded glasses.
Right. Jason and
You're wearing a -5.5.
Jason has tortoiseshell frames.
Thank you, Tim.
They're kind of greasy. Whoa.
These are not doing much. I would say you're at a -2 at the most.
I think I can see through the wall with Jason's.
Fantastic. Nick, as the clock spins, you are next in rotation. What is your prescription?
I don't know the number. I know that...
How does no one know their number? This is the one thing you need to know.
Who gives a shit?
It's not like your measurement.
It's written down on paper.
Opticians give a shit because they're the ones who give you glasses.
I hand them the paper.
Yeah, but they can check it themselves.
Good point.
I can't tell that the E on the top of a chart is an E. It looks like an F, but I can tell it's a letter.
Wow, that's pretty bad.
It's pretty bad.
It's like you started an RPG and you can't kill kobolds. It's
Ouch.
The first test.
I've killed kobolds.
Not in life. Only in actual role-playing games. We're talking about life.
Who can kill a kobold in real life?
Oh, God, I bet we could.
A kobold is basically like little raptor, but in Dungeons & Dragons.
Okay.
How deep into kobold physiognomy do you want me to go?
As long as we can, so that we can't wrap up Jason's first segment.
Okay, so in original Dungeons & Dragons, kobolds were kind of like dog-like creatures. Then, as time progressed and as more additions kept coming out, they turned into kind of tiny little dragon creatures. Now, with 5th edition, they've kind of become, I think, like a hybrid dog-lizard creature.
Why would you kill them? They sound cute.
They're like the basic level creature that are easy to kill, but still present a challenge in numbers.
That doesn't answer her question of why.
Why would you kill them? Oh, because there really is no reason why. I guess they're a little aggressive, but they're not harmful enough. It's not like they're out conquering things. They just kind of hang out in warrens and don't really bother anybody. And then brutish adventurers kick down their doors, kill them, and steal their stuff.
That just sounds cruel.
It is cruel.
Is Dungeons & Dragons about imperialism, or is it just how you describe it?
I think it is. I think there's a imperialistic undercurrent to the entire game. Some people call the player characters in Dungeons & Dragons murder hobos because they don't have homes and they just run around killing everything.
All right, Pilot, we're going to get to your glasses very soon. I just have one more point of business to talk about when it comes to kobolds. So if kobolds started as dog creatures and became lizard creatures,
yeah,
I know them as lizard creatures as the acolytes of dragons.
Yes.
Their whole mythos is that they surround dragon lairs and worship dragons.
Right.
When they were small dogs, did they worship a large dog deity, or were they still tied to the dragon lore?
I believe they were still tied to the dragon lore. I believe that wherever there are kobolds, dragons are not far behind.
Okay. Well, now that we have sufficiently scared off anyone who would possibly listen to this, Pilot,
I have no idea what my prescription is, but I'm willing to bet that it is worse than all of yours.
Can you see the E at the top of a vision chart?
No.
Can you kill a kobold?
Probably. Great. If I tried.
You're better than Nick, then.
My glasses also aren't the right prescription. They're supposed to be stronger, but I always memorize the eye chart, so like I just kind of say the letters.
Game
Why?
The system.
Well, I don't do it on purpose. Like, you take the eye test so many times.
Is it always the same chart?
Sometimes it is. But then, when I do that thing where you have to do one eye first, I memorize it without realizing I'm memorizing it. So, in the next eye, I just kind of just say it.
That's amazing.
One of my lenses is much thicker than the other. It's, really visible.
Can you recite now from memory the start of the eye chart?
I have to, like, if I glance at it, I could.
What's your best guess?
It starts with E.
We all got the E. That's the easy one. What do you think's next?
I'm betting FP. No, wait. Go back. M.
This one. How about this one?
It's either a Z or a 5.
How about now?
Worse.
How about this one? Better or worse?
Can you do it again?
Yeah. Okay. How about better or worse?
Worse.
Okay. Okay. How about this one?
No, wait. Go back to the other one.
We've already moved on.
I need to go back.
Okay.
I could have been wrong about it.
Okay. Better or worse?
Better.
Okay. Let's move down a line.
I'd like to phone a friend.
Get out of my office.
And that's how I got these.
Now I know what knows the prescription number.
Why are you the only one who knows your prescription number, Jason?
I think it's because I have to order contact lenses often.
Right.
And you have to stare at your number on your contact lens box every time you get one out.
Oh, are your left and right eye different, or they're the same?
No, they're the same. Hmm. I haven't cheated on my test like some of us in here.
I mean, in my defense, one of my eyes is worse than the other. It's just now it's much worse than the other.
When did you start wearing glasses?
I was 3.
Wow.
Yeah, I remember distinctly because I walked into pre-K and my teacher called me 4 eyes.
Oh, no.
That sounds like a trained professional.
Yep.
Do you remember your teacher's name?
No.
Well, we can just take the school name and the year, We can research it, because I want to fire shots at this terrible teacher.
Yeah. It was homeschool. How old was
it your mother? You walked into your mother's room at the age of 3 to be homeschooled, and she called you 4 eyes.
She probably did also call me 4 eyes, and she is a teacher.
Oh, no.
Well, this leads perfectly into what is becoming a new favorite segment of mine. How's your mother?
She's great. She is probably right now drinking wine and petting the dogs and knitting something extravagant.
Ooh.
What kind of wine? What kind of dogs?
She's been into box wine lately. She has this thing where she soaks fruit in Everclear, so she could just be doing that. We have a black German Shepherd named Orion and a white German Shepherd named Casper.
Oh.
And last time I went home, which was like 2 days ago, she was knitting this really fancy scarf for Supernatural, like the TV show with like the logos on the ends and stuff. I don't know. I've never seen it. I don't know who she's making it for, actually. I hope it's not me.
You think that she's trying to pitch you on the show Supernatural by her knitting?
Yeah. She's tried it before. Just like sending me random things. And she's like, you should watch the show because I knit you a hat that says it.
What has she tried to pitch you on with knitting?
Big Bang Theory.
Did it work?
Oh, really?
No, and the thing is, she doesn't like it. I don't like it, but I've seen every episode, so I don't know why she was trying to convince me to like it.
So you had to watch every episode for work, I would imagine.
No.
So, wait, you hate it, and...
I have this really weird TV compulsion where if I start a TV show, I have to finish it. And so I watched the pilot of Big Bang Theory, and then I watched like the first 3 episodes, see if it got any better. And it hasn't, but I have to watch it every week until it ends. It's terrible.
I think I have similar completionist compulsions, so it might be why I don't watch a lot of television.
Yeah, like the problem with being a TV critic is you have to watch the pilot and then you're stuck watching it forever.
Yeah. Are you compulsive in other genres? Like, do you need to watch all of a director's movies once you've started watching one of theirs?
No.
Just television?
Yeah, just only television. Authors, too. Like, sometimes I like have to read every book an author's written, which is why I've never like tried to read anything by Stephen King.
Yeah.
It's too much.
It's daunting. I have a similar thing about a lot of musicians. I've never been able to listen to Frank Zappa because the catalog is just so humongous and weird and varied. You don't feel like you're ever getting a representative thing just by one album. So a lot of music nerds will complain that I should listen to him and I would care. But I'm like, I don't have time to listen to 50 weird things and figure out which one is like his joke one, but it's an inside album about another one that's not a joke one. I don't have time for that. Nick, what don't you have time for?
Nothing. I have lots of time, and I spend it wisely. When I don't like something, I stop doing that thing.
Sweet pathology, bro.
What do you do? What do you spend the most time during your day doing?
Working.
Outside of working. What's the most time-consuming leisure activity you have?
Either reading or writing. I sound like, ooh, I'm a Ravenpuff. I'm an INTJ. Reading, writing. That's my problem.
Pilot, same question.
Watching TV and staring at my guinea pig.
Mm.
What's your guinea pig's name?
His name is Ponyboy from The Outsiders.
Oh my God, Stay Gold. Nice. Do you tell him to stay gold every day?
I do. And my roommate got a guinea pig and we named him Soda Pop. They're both greasers.
Do you slick their guinea pig hair?
I've tried. They do not like it.
Do they wear little jackets?
No, but I should get my mom to make them.
Yes?
Yeah.
Convince her that the guinea pigs need to enjoy a TV show.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's a good idea.
My guinea pigs just won't watch The Outsiders.
What did your mom, did you say knit or crochet about The Big Bang Theory?
I think she knit me probably like a hat that said Bazinga.
Oh, yes.
Did she get it to you?
Yeah.
Did you ever wear it?
No, I think I donated it to a thrift store.
So out there, a one-of-a-kind
Bazinga
hat.
That's amazing.
She just knits anything. If I just send her a photo, I'll just get the thing knitted in the mail the next day.
That's amazing. Yeah. That's like a sci-fi power.
Yeah. But then it means that like I get boxes every month with just like 50 winter hats and I have one head.
My mom loves me.
Cool
she wants me to be
bro.
Warm. Ugh.
I desperately want your mother to listen to this. You have said that your mother will read the things you write.
Yeah.
But when you go on podcasts, she's just like, I've heard you talk. I don't need more of that. We've devoted a lot of time talking about her. Do you think that's going to be enough of a hook? If not, let's start some segments that she might be into. Just let us know what she's into. We're going to try to do something that will make your mother want to get this far in a podcast.
She's into cheesy romance novels.
Okay.
Easy.
Putting booze into everything.
Okay.
God, we would get along.
I sometimes get calls from my dad, and he's like, she put like alcohol in my dinner again. I don't know. She doesn't really do much because she's retired. So she just like sits around and knits and watches TV.
God, she sounds so cool.
I know. She really is.
Okay. So here's what we have to work with, guys.
Okay.
We have booze-infused things. We have romance novels.
Yep.
Leisure and retirement. From this, maybe we can tease out some segments and topics that'll really make this a podcast your mother will love.
I don't know. She doesn't like white people.
Oh, yeah. Okay. It's going to be hard to get around
that.
That
is rough. She doesn't have to see us. She could just hear our voices. Do you think she could tell?
Yeah.
Damn.
Do we sound white?
Yeah.
What is it? How can we change?
Everything.
Okay.
Yeah.
Let's go to a break. And when we come back, we're going to have a plan. Please, Pilot's mother, bear with us. You're going to fucking love. Oh, does she not like swearing?
Oh, she swears like a sailor.
You're going to fucking love the next act.
Hi, I'm Dan Bush.
And I'm Matt Tobin.
And this
is Off the Rails.
Do you know what I've never understood?
What?
Stand-up comedy. I went to a show once with my two good friends.
Side note, two of Dan's best friends don't like each other. What does that mean about Dan?
So I was at this show, and it was interesting because...
You will note some of Dan's conversational tics where he buys time are, it was interesting because, and I was at blank the other day.
The other day, I was thinking about conversational tics, and I didn't think that I had any.
You know who else doesn't notice tics?
Who?
People with Lyme disease.
That's true, because they got bit, and now they're tired.
What state has the highest per capita Lyme disease?
It's probably Connecticut.
It has to be Connecticut.
I assume it is, because you asked me the question.
I don't know.
One of the things that I like to do is to say facts that aren't true, and then see if the person notices.
Let's try that.
Blue is the same as green.
Both primary colors.
Yeah, did you notice?
Notice what?
This has been Off the Rails.
He knew what he was talking about. Welcome back to Let's Get Into It. This is 2 minutes on romance novels. We're on the clock. All right, so in college, my comparative literature professor made everyone go to a yard sale and buy romance novels and read them and come in. And then he had us all talk about what we thought about them, and we all had fun ripping them apart. And then he was like, you want to know what's interesting? None of you could write a better book than this right now. And then we all argue with him for 30 minutes. He's like, seriously, you can't do this. Live with that. And it was one of the greatest lessons I'd ever had in my life. That's 30 seconds off the clock on romance novels. Who's next?
Oh, it's 2 minutes each.
Oh, shit. Okay.
What were his reasons that you couldn't write that novel? How did he persuade you?
He was basically persuading us that we were putting our energy in the wrong area of criticism. We were like, oh, the ideals aren't lofty. The thematics are all over the place. It's not important. And he's like, the sentences work. A story is told. They do it for over 100 pages. None of you have ever done that. You probably can't. You should maybe focus on what's actually happening there instead of being like, it's not Chaucer, because you've done shit and you haven't earned that yet.
That's when you decided you were going to get really good at writing romance novels?
Mm-hmm.
What's your next one called?
Milady and Her Steed.
Hmm.
What happens?
There's this lady. Oh, shit. Is that... Well, it looks like my time is running out. Oh,
man.
And,
wait, quick. What's your pen name that you write your romance novels under?
Susie B. Pansony.
I'll take this next 2 minutes. I once tried to read a romance novel entitled Strong Arm of the Law. I cede my time to the next.
You can do that?
Yeah, of course.
Of course you can do that. Yeah, why didn't you take that option?
All right.
As a teenager, I masturbated frequently. Without regard to place or appropriateness, time, things I was supposed to be doing.
When you say teenager.
As a teenager.
Can we get like an approximate?
Up to the age of 31.
Okay.
I.
Just a point of contention. Teenagedom is usually, I mean, what would you say, Jason? Like 13 to like.
Yeah, under that you're a tween.
18.
Am I right?
I would say 13 to 24 is teenager.
Right.
24.
For a male, definitely.
Right.
I remember becoming a human at 25.
I would masturbate in the shower when I was supposed to be meeting a friend for brunch. I would just be 15 minutes late.
Right.
I really thought you were about to use B15 as a weird euphemism for masturbating. I thought you were like, I had to go to brunch, but I would just B15 it, do some bombing in my shower.
That's a great term. Wait, is a B15 a bomber or is that a B52?
I don't know. They're probably both bombers.
The B-52 is a band, so the B-15 has to be a bomber.
Okay. I think it's just a thing on a bingo board.
Right, that's what I was thinking.
Yeah.
And would you shout bingo?
I would shout.
Climax?
It made it very uncomfortable around the dorm, because they got wind of it. Oh, another time I would masturbate in the bunk bed below the sleeping, well, probably not sleeping, let's be honest, roommate.
Who sleeps in college?
But before that, in my formative years... in a used bookstore to romance novels on the cheap carpet.
Whoa, whoa, whoa. You would finish onto the cheap carpet?
Well, where else was I going to put it?
I don't know. Your shirt or a tissue or just on the... You just seated the floor? This
I'm
is disgusting.
Fairly sure that the owner of the store, that he never saw that there were not cameras.
Oh,
I do remember once I masturbated upstairs at a comic book store and then saw that there were cameras. They put the dirty comics up there in a quiet room.
I'm so sorry, Pilot.
They were
asking for it. They didn't have a sign.
Just to describe for the listeners at home, Pilot and Nick are sharing a couch, and Pilot is crawling up the side of the couch and pressing her body against the wall.
I'm so sorry. We normally don't run a show like this.
I'm glad that, like, you're trying to get my mom to listen to this by talking about
that's
Nick
so
jerking
true.
Off in
I think,
stores.
She said that she swore like a sailor. Is this not what she's into?
That doesn't mean she cares about, like, men's masturbation habits.
Is that not what happens in romance novels? It's not just a bunch of dudes jacking off on dirty carpets?
Nope.
I think all of your 2 minutes are over. Pilot, can you save us in your 2 minutes, please?
Okay, so as I mentioned, my mom loves these romance novels. And she would just buy them kind of in bulk and just leave them around the house. And so especially in like the upstairs attic, which is like her floor. And so it would just be like stacks and stacks of these books. And I would always look at the covers. And it was usually just like some woman just like kind of like ripping off her like bodice or whatever. She's like on a horse or like just in a field of flowers with a horse. Or like just her and a guy riding a horse together. And so for a long time, I just thought that the books were all about this woman who just loved to have sex with horses. And then, like, to add on to that, when I was a kid, all I heard was that, like, if you go horseback riding, you will break your hymen. But they didn't, like, specify that it was riding the horse. So I just assumed that everyone just was really into fucking horses. And then I learned that it wasn't true.
So you thought basically what they were warning you is, like, if you ride a horse, you're gonna want to fuck that horse.
Well, I think because they were just like, well, you can't take up horseback riding, you're gonna lose your hymen. And I thought that maybe, like, the horse would get too excited or something? I don't really know.
Horses just hated hymens?
I was not a smart child. And I did end up horseback riding, but I did not lose my hymen there.
Great.
Congratulations.
Thanks. I did gymnastics.
Well, the same comparative literature professor who made me read romance novels also told me that anytime a woman is riding a horse in 18th century literature, it means she has had sex. Or is finding sexual... It's about sexuality, is what they're saying. It's the equivalent of panning to the fireplace in 18th century literature is having a horse scene.
How do you signify that a man fucked?
I don't know.
Does he kill a horse? I kind of now want to just see, like, all these rom-com sitcoms, like, just pan, like, over to a woman riding a horse after, like, the first time she has sex. Yeah.
No, in classical literature, to signify that men have had sex, there's usually a scene where they lock their wives in the attic and then take on a mistress.
Hmm.
Jane Eyre. Nobody's read Jane Eyre.
The classical.
Okay. All right.
I've only read The Wide Sargasso Sea. So
I only read one book, and it was that romance novel in the back of that used bookstore.
Oh, you finished the book?
In a very tasteful ceremony.
So this is because I don't know why Jane Eyre reminded me of this, but the other day I was trying to remember the name of a book, and I was just like, what's the name of that book with the bitch in the attic? And everyone goes Anne Frank, which was not what I was thinking of, and also says a lot about my friends.
Yep.
But it turns out I was thinking of the Dickens one with Miss Havisham.
Right.
Great Expectations.
Yeah, which I read and loved, and it's not at all about a bitch in the attic, but that's just like all I could remember about it, which is false.
It's about a bitch and some dying flowers.
But now I guess Jane Eyre is also about a bitch in an attic?
Yeah. Okay. Bertha Mason lives in the attic.
Nice.
As is, I guess, then Wide Sargasso Sea.
Is there a woman in the attic in Wide Sargasso Sea?
There probably is. I went to college too, Jason.
Okay, tell me what Wide Sargasso Sea is about.
Apparently it's Jane Eyre.
It's from the perspective of Bertha.
Ah.
So our podcast has been going pretty well, and we're thinking it's time to make the move to television.
No.
Great. Thought over.
Great.
No. That segment's done.
Okay, Mark Maron's show went to you.
Yeah.
Yeah, is there another one that's been based on a podcast?
Walking Dead. There was this podcast called Talking Dead. It was a little avant-garde, and people, you know, didn't quite understand what was going on.
What was it about?
Talking about zombies, talking about what would happen in a world with zombies.
It wasn't dead people talking on a podcast.
No, it was living people talking about what if the dead were reanimated and the living had to deal with it.
Uh-huh. He was misbranded.
What if we imagine a world where someone had told that story?
Right.
Now let's discuss what would that story be like? And everybody thought it was way too high concept, but then AMC got a hold of it, realized, no, we know what you need to do. Strip away a layer, make it a TV show.
Wow.
And that's how the sausage gets made, huh?
That is also how AMC's The Sausage got made.
It started with a podcast?
It started with a podcast.
Talking about the sausage?
It was Talking Sausage.
AMC, what does that stand for? Another mixed commercial?
Well, I actually, I've been doing some Googling while you guys have been talking.
Oh.
And I found an episode of Talking About Sausage. So I think if I can find the aux jack, I can probably plug that in if you guys want to listen to it.
I would love to.
It's a piece of history we're going to listen to right now.
You found a piece of, an episode of Talking Sausage?
Oh, yeah. The metadata is real sloppy on this torrent sites, you know?
It also says it's by Weird Al. Ugh, Napster kids.
So I'm going to plug that in right now, and let's give it a listen.
Great.
Welcome to Talking Sausage, episode 435.
435, coming at you. Talk about sausage. What kind of sausage we got on the grill today, boys?
I've been cooking a little bit of small sausage. Do you want to have some of the small sausage right now?
I would love some.
So far, we're delivering you our promise, a new character on the show every 20 seconds.
I gotta cut in, guys. I know this is a seminal podcast in the industry, and being in the industry, we should look back on it and understand why it's good, but it's really unfocused. Are we allowed to look back and say the classics are kind of sloppy?
I think so. I think if you break ground in a certain area, you're allowed to be a little sloppy.
But we're allowed to notice it. We're allowed to say they hadn't built up the form that we have now.
Right. Pilot, is there a good TV analog? Is there a classic show that you think is sloppy, though groundbreaking and important?
Can we take away the groundbreaking and important part?
I would love to.
Friends.
One of you needs to move off that couch or it's about to get violent.
I hate Friends.
Oh, God, this is so good. If you don't mind, I'm going to jack off onto the carpet while you tell Nick why Friends sucks.
Can we do counterpoint?
And this is a new segment called Point Counterpoint. Point!
I watched all the Friends. I laughed once the entire time.
Counterpoint.
You have lost your soul somewhere back there.
Point?
There's no black people.
Counterpoint.
Neither are there on most shows. So if you are just going to say most shows are sloppy, fair enough. if you're going to single friends out, eh.
Point?
Instead of getting a black actor, they got a monkey.
Counterpoint.
I have no counterpoint.
And the points have it. All right, we got to take a break. I think I'm just going to plug in this aux jack again and play the rest of Talking Sausage. Bye.
I'm the fourth character on a Talking Sausage. What kind of sausage do you want to talk about? I got an Applewood smoked sage over here.
Applewood smoked sage.
Listen, it's been 435 episodes of Talking Sausage, and no one's fucking talked about some sausage. You've made gestures toward Talking Sausage. No, wait, don't drag me away. I'm still in time.
What? Sorry, guys, I gotta butt in here with a little message from Me Undies. Are your underoos too dirty? Get yourself some Me Undies.
Wow, Me Undies has been around for a long time.
And we're back. So let's get into it. Talking Sausage continues to not hold up.
Yeah. Do they ever actually talk about sausage, or you know, do they just talk about sausage?
It is confusing. It seems like they don't care what their listenership is comprised of, and I do not stand for it.
What their listenership comprises.
What did
of,
I say?
Comprises of.
What is comprised of?
It's just, it's comprises.
It seems like they don't care for whom their listenership comprises.
Of.
So, Tim's giving me a look right now, and that look says, only one thing. You news, you lose.
Oh, yeah. It's time. Pilot, have you ever listened to a podcast called Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me?
No.
Great. This is a little segment I like to call You News, You Lose. It's actually America's favorite news headline game. So the way this works is I have three headlines here. I will read each one aloud. Then we'll go around the room and we'll all choose. Hold on. I'm not explaining this correctly. Whatever. Let's sally forth. Three headlines. One is real. Two are fake. We're each going to select a headline, and the one who chooses the real one loses. What's the punishment for choosing the real headline?
You have to do your best impression of a Talking Sausage podcast.
Great. Pilot, you ready?
Sure, why not?
Okay, you news, you lose. Headline one. Presidential hopeful Donald Trump unveils solid gold statue of himself today, promises it will replace the Statue of Liberty once he's elected. Headline two. New father Mark Zuckerberg announces that he will donate his daughter to charity. Headline three. Fox Movie Studios released a statement today saying that Leonardo DiCaprio was not raped by a bear in the new movie, The Revenant. Nick, which headline is real, which is fake?
And be careful. If you news, you lose.
I will choose that Trump will build a gold statue. There's a gold statue of Trump and it'll replace the Statue of Liberty.
Correct. Pilot.
Wait, what am I choosing? The one that's real or fake?
Yes.
If you news, you lose.
I will say the Zuckerberg one.
Okay.
I'm going to say it's the Leonardo DiCaprio one. And okay. I feel like I have newsed and lost.
You have newsed, Jason, all and right. You lose. Leonardo DiCaprio's character was not raped by a bear in The Revenant, and Fox Movie Studios has confirmed this.
Why did they need to confirm this?
The world may never know.
So you don't read these articles, huh? You just, all right.
Yeah. No, these are just headlines.
All right. Well, I've news and lost, so yep. I guess I have to do... After deriding Talking Sausage so much, I guess it's only poetically fair that I have to be the one to try to pay it homage right now, so...
Pilot, of all of the Talking Sausage characters that we've heard, which was your favorite and which do you think Jason should try to pay homage to the closest?
I think you should consider backstory
of
the characters. You should consider their relationships with the other characters.
Because in pilot fashion, we have listened to every episode of Talking Sausage.
I'm sure you have as well. So
during
you can
the break.
Feel free to pull characters that we haven't even played on the show yet.
I really liked the Mr. Vienna sausage character, who knew that he was a sausage, but constantly denied it.
Strong pull. Mm-hmm. Okay. I think I'm ready. Hey, guys, it's-a me, Mr. Vienna. Do you want to go to the opera later? What? Wait, what do you mean I cannot get in? No, I cannot get in. No, I can sit in the seats. No, I'm a regular guy. Like, I am not a sausage. I'm a man. I could go to opera with you. Come on, let me in. And scene.
It's like he's from Vienna, Italy itself.
The only sausage that I do eat is Vienna sausage.
Right.
And I buy them in bulk, usually 40 cans at a time from BJ's. And I hide them under my bed because I'm living in Y2K.
Okay. I have a lot of questions. Is Vienna sausage only sold in cans?
Yes.
Okay. What's the stockpile number of cans of Vienna sausage that you have under your bed currently?
Currently I only have like probably 5 or 6 because I got a new bed that has like drawers underneath.
It has less storage room.
Well, so like now I have to mix it in with my clothes and then it gets weird because then like my boyfriend will like try to get like a towel out. Uh-huh. He's just like, you have cans of Vienna sausage around. I'm just like, it's none of your business.
Right.
Like, don't take my sausage.
Nice.
But I once also got stopped by security at the airport because I had brought too many cans of Vienna sausage with me to Panama because I was worried they wouldn't have the brand that I liked.
What's the brand that you like?
At that point, it was Goya, but now it's Libby.
And how many is too many?
It was like 8 or 9 cans because I was there for about a week.
Did they tell you what would have been okay?
They were just like, why do you have so many cans of Vienna sausage? And I was like, can I bring like 5? And they're like, I guess.
Did they take the other cans?
Yeah, to throw them away.
Oh, you actually threw them in the garbage.
Yeah.
Oh, they didn't confiscate them.
Nope.
Did you burn through all of your remaining cans before the end of your trip?
Oh, immediately. I eat about 7 Vienna sausages a day.
How many are in a can?
The smaller cans are 7. The bigger cans are, I think, 14 or 15.
Did you find your brand once you'd run out?
I found Goya and I was happy.
You know, we actually haven't found a sponsor yet. Would you be willing to just hit us with a quick live read for your favorite brand of Vienna sausage?
Here's the thing. I still have strong feelings for Goya, and I feel like if I talk about Libby, like, Goya's gonna hear, and they're gonna get mad at me.
Okay.
I have an emotional relationship with Vienna sausage. It's really deep and complex.
Okay, Pilot's mom, check back in now, because you're gonna fucking love this. Tell me more about your feelings for Libby sausage.
The thing about Libby is it's best in the summer. Because in the winter, like, Libby's great, but then there's, like, it's all weird and congealed with, like, all the kind of Vienna sausage juices. But in the summer, it's just really, like, nice flowing Vienna sausage juices. And then it just kind of easily goes out the can, and Libby's great. Goya, on the other hand, has, like, really, like, thick, like, mucusy kind of stuff, and that's not okay.
Is it a winter sausage, then?
Yeah.
Now, what are the dates that you divide between sausage seasons? Is it Labor Day, Memorial Day, or do you set your calendar differently on when you switch over sausage brands?
December through May, I consider winter.
Wow, interesting. Does your consideration stem from the weather or the consistency of these sausages?
The consistency of the sausages.
Right.
So, like, when I live in an apartment where it has really good heat, then, like, it's Libby's all year round.
It sounds like Libby is the clear winner.
Goya was like my first love. Like, right. I lost my Vienna virginity to Goya.
Right, right. Yeah.
You did gymnastics class with Goya.
Yes.
What do you think about playing Jason Plays?
I think we can do that. So yeah, Pilot, this is one of our favorite segments where anyone really can suggest that I try to play something and we learn that I have no repertoire or talent. The end. You can also feel free to sing or participate in any way that makes you feel great about art.
X-Files
I'm going
theme.
To do nothing.
Well, as everyone knows, half of the art is in the rests. So thank you, Pilot. Why can't I think of the X-Files theme?
Right. It's a cheery version.
Yeah. Super close.
I always thought that show was spookier than that, but now that I play it, I'm not so frightened.
It's the spookiest episode of The X-Files.
Oh, it's probably the one that goes...
So close. It's like almost there.
That was spooky. I got tingles and chills.
It's like listening to a dad quote a movie.
Somebody's stopping me.
Play Star Wars.
Thank you.
close. They're always so close.
It's like those videos of robots learning to walk.
I've never seen Star Wars.
Like, of course you haven't.
So like that just sounds great to me.
It is great. It's perfect. These guys are just haters.
Whoa. You can say you have never seen Star Wars. You haven't, like, not ever heard the Star Wars theme.
Stop being a hater.
Pilot, what's Star Wars about?
I'm assuming, like, maybe Earth got really mad at a star. And then, like, Yoda and Hayden Christensen are like, hey, fuck you, Earth. We're going to fight you. And then they fight. And then at one point, the Darth Vader guy is like, I'm your dad. And then that's the end.
Yeah. Jason, Seinfeld theme.
Toss salad and scrambled eggs.
I'm on the wrong keyboard.
Not really close, but that feels like my emotional connection to Seinfeld.
Hey.
Can we hear that again?
What's airline food doing?
Yep, that's how I feel whenever Seinfeld is on television.
Pilot. Seinfeld, yay or nay?
Nay.
Oh my god, can you replace Nick? This is the best day of my life. Now, episode 2 of Point Counterpoint.
I'm not like a We're talking super Seinfeld. Seinfeld.
Shut up, Nick. Let me have this. Point Counterpoint. Pilot. Point.
It's not a good show.
Counterpoint.
I think it's a good show eventually, not at first.
Point.
For a long time, I didn't realize people were quoting Seinfeld, and I was just like, why are you always talking about how pretzels are making you thirsty? And then I watched it, and I was like, this isn't funny.
Counterpoint.
I knew when people were quoting Monty Python, but I never watched Monty Python and pretended that I had seen it because I knew all the lines.
Tim, defend Monty Python. Point.
It was one of the first big mainstream surrealistic comedy troupe television shows.
Vienna Sausage, counterpoint.
But it's the garbage that's all about us stereotyping people that aren't English.
Counterpoint, pilot.
It's I don't even know what we're debating anymore.
Jason, themed Monty Python.
What? How's it going?
Do the Big Bang Theory song.
Bazinga.
Perfect.
How does the Big Bang Theory song go?
It's the Bare Naked Ladies, right?
Yeah.
It's Bazinga.
It's not the Bare Naked Ladies song, it's a problem. Okay. It's the other one.
All right. Thank you so much for coming in and having correct opinions about television. As an expert, a freelance writer, television critic, who definitely knows more about TV than Nick and has better, more important opinions, thank you for your amazing opinions. Is there anything you would like to plug before we get out of here?
No, I quit my job yesterday. So.
Yay!
Hire me.
Please hire her. She has the best television opinions. Are there any? Can we do a lightning round here? Things that we should be watching. We should level your expertise, not just to make Nick feel bad. What should people be watching that they probably aren't right now?
The Leftovers is really good. I've been catching up on it today. You're the Worst is the best comedy on TV right now. Bob's Burgers are still adorable. The Flash is great. Jane the Virgin's great. I would just say the CW is pretty much on a roll. Also, Ghost Adventures on Travel Channel.
Thank you so much. That was fantastic. Until next week.
Our whole universe was in a hot, dense state that nearly 14 billion years ago expansion started. Wait, the Earth began to cool. The autotrophs began to drool. Neanderthals developed tools. We built a wall. We built the pyramids. Science, history, unraveling the mystery that all started with.
Your personal info, like addresses, phone numbers, and more, are collected and sold by data brokers. But Aura steps in, scanning the web, sending you alerts, and requesting your info be removed. Get Aura's full toolkit, including credit and transaction monitoring, a password manager, VPN, and more. Get a 14-day free trial at aura.com/safety. That's aura.com/safety.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
Hey, I'm Guy Raz, and on my show, Wisdom from the Top, I talk with CEOs and business leaders about the toughest challenges of their careers.
There's lots of ways to measure success.
Sometimes a company has to bet against itself.
we wanted to set ourselves apart by having a point of view.
Businesses really impact people's lives in pretty fundamental ways.
On Wisdom from the Top, some of the greatest business leaders of our time share their intimate stories of leadership, innovation, and transformation. Stories you won't hear anywhere else. Check out Wisdom from the Top only on Luminary. Now, back to your show.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com. The baby.